The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Hey, it's Memorial Day. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler. I don't think Happy Memorial Day is the right way to address people, because Memorial Day is not, you know, a happy holiday. But Donald Trump, of course, got on Twitter this morning and wrote Happy Memorial Day. I don't think he knows what the holiday is for, because obviously it is a day to commemorate, to remember the war dead. And here we are in the United States of America approaching 100,000 people dead from COVID-19. That's 100,000 people in the United States alone. And what did Donald Trump do this weekend? He played two rounds of golf, not just one, but two, count them, two rounds of golf. And, you know, look, I don't like to play too much of his voice, because I know my listeners' ears are very sensitive and you guys get pissed off. But I just have to share this with you. We're going to go back in the Wayback Machine to 2014, I believe it was. 2014, which is when Ebola was rearing its ugly head. Thankfully, we were spared the devastation of Ebola here in the States. But this was from 2014, before he was president, before he even decided to call to run for the presidency. Donald Trump still used to call into Fox and Fiends over at, you know, the fake news channel. And this is from 2014, Donald Trump bitching about Barack Obama playing golf.
It's right after he talked to the Health and Human Services secretary. He went golfing for the 200th round of golf of his presidency.
Well, he certainly knows a good game, because golf is a great game. Nobody likes it more than me, but he's played a lot of golf. There's no question about it. And, you know, when you're president, you sort of say, like, I'm going to sort of give it up for a couple of years, and I'm going to really focus on the job. How about right after the beheading, he then walks over, he gives a news conference, and then walks right outside and tees it up. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, there are times to play golf. We all love golf. There are times to play, and there are times that you can't play. And it sends the wrong signal, but he plays a lot of golf.
Yeah, pot meet kettle. God, he's so infuriating. That was, of course, the beheading they were talking about was Daniel Pearl, the reporter. And after he was, the video surfaced of his decapitation, Obama did play golf. Was that right of him? Probably not. It's also not right for how many times Donald Trump has played golf as president of the United States. Since taking office January 20th, 2017, Trump has been on the grounds of his golf courses or played golf elsewhere 266 times. That's as of yesterday, 266 times. The cost of Trump's golf outings to the American taxpayer varies by round and course, but it has totaled so far in the tens of millions of dollars. And most of that money is paid to his own properties. It's disgusting. The Secret Service has spent at least $550,000 in third-party golf rentals and over $500,000 to stay at Trump-owned properties, including his New Jersey golf club. Amazing. Amazing. He was, I love this. I think this is from Politico. He previously was on pace to visit his golf clubs more than 650 times in an 8-year presidency. However, his pace as of August 6, 2018, now indicates Trump would spend as much as 745 days of his presidency at a golf course if he wins a second term, and serves both terms to completion, and that just better not happen. Okay, yes. All right. I told you, you know, we're not usually here on Mondays, although we're getting back in the swing of things. And I promised you another music show because we had so much fun last week. And today I'm so excited. My old friend Dan Navarro is joining us. He's getting ready. But I told Dan, we need to start things off. What I like to do is start things off with a funny, something humorous, because, you know, I get started on shit like this with Trump and his golfing and I get pissed off and I get angry and things get serious on the show, as you would expect. And, well, because of that, I thought today is another good day for something funny. So we're going to start with another parody song. And I had two others ready to go. And then Founder Singh put out another video. So these guys are prolific. And not only do they, you know, write humorous parody song lyrics, and I think they just use like karaoke tracks. I don't think they're doing the music on it. But then they do the animation on the video, and they've gotten very good at the deep fake technology. So today we turn to Founder Singh for their parody of Dobie Gray's Drift Away. This one's called Pissed Away. I kid you not. Take it away, Founder Singh and Barack Obama. Here we go.
Day after day, your ego's bruised. When they say I'm the one with the brilliant brain, we're playing a game, but you always lose. Your shady brand name is bringing a shame. You can't take the heat, no, you're stone cold. Every good deed from my heart and soul you pissed away. You lie and you cheat, but it takes a toll. The love that we lost and the trust you stole, you pissed away. You really think that I plant a spy just to dig up some dirt on the things you do? Your shaft is right before our eyes. I'll stir up my crew to vote against you. We needed a leader, but you're a troll. Tweeting that crap on the toilet bowl as you piss away. Oh, won't it be sweet when you lose control? Restore the respect for our leading role. You pissed away. With your birth a bull, you kept feeding us uneful. Your blame Obama-thon, well, that's the running con that you pull. You bank on your ploy of dissing me for all of the screw-ups you got wrong. Abuses and frauds and felonies. Singing that song, it's making me strong. Oh, we got you beat, gonna get steamrolled. Doing what's right is a noble goal. You pissed away.
So true.
Can't take the heat, no, you're stone cold. Every good deed of our heart and soul, you pissed away. The love that we lost and the trust you stole, you pissed away. Hey, 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 we got your beat, gonna
good. Founder
Singh.
Hey,
thanks for watching. What's, Don't forget to hit the subscribe button.
Thank you. Founder Singh is the name of that group who does the song parodies. And great animation as well. Barack Obama, Tweety Bird, Squirrel, and Two Snakes in the Grass. The YouTube channel is under Founder Singh, and oh boy, they are quite talented. All right, it's Monday, but it is Memorial Day. I did not do a new What's News segment this morning for Progressive Voices, just because it was a holiday. But I still I gathered together some of the news, and we'll give you a very, very short What's News segment today. What do you think? Well, here we go. Oh. Would help if I did this. Nope. Let's try it again. Like this.
I read the news today, oh boy.
And I even think Bill O'Reilly is running around
live.
Somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Okay, Bill. I told you I didn't record
fucking
one today.
Sucks.
God. All right.
We are back.
Oh. That was weird. Okay. Anyway, a little bit of Randy Rainbow in there. Good news to start us off with. A federal judge here in Florida has ruled that a new Florida law requiring felons to pay all court fines and fees before they can register to vote was unconstitutional. Thank you, Judge Robert Hinkle of the U.S. District Court in Tallahassee. He wrote that the restrictions amounted to a poll tax that would prevent voting by people who can't afford to pay, saying, quote, the 24th Amendment precludes Florida from conditioning voting in federal elections on payment of these fees and costs. He said he called the law a pay-to-vote system, which it was. Again, in case you don't remember, there was an amendment that we, the people of Florida, voted on to give convicted felons, once they've served their time, their right to vote back. And the new governor, Ron DeSantis, pushed through this new law after we overwhelmingly approved this thing in 2018, restoring voting rights for felons who've completed their sentences, including probation and parole. So the latest, a DeSantis spokesperson said yesterday that the governor's office is examining the ruling. We still have two more years of this idiot. Some churches reopened yesterday, allegedly with social distancing policies as a precaution against the coronavirus infections after Trump declared houses of worship to be essential ahead of this Memorial Day weekend. Trump on Friday said he'd override any governors who tried to prevent people from gathering for religious services after more than 2 months of lockdowns. Some elected officials argued that it was too risky to encourage such gatherings as the U.S. death toll approaches 100,000. In New Jersey, the governor, Phil Murphy, who's a Democrat, said it remained unsafe for gatherings of more than 25 people, so churches in the state would have to remain closed, saying, we want to make sure we do it right, responsibly, and that we don't kill anyone by doing it too fast. And I remembered a bit of audio that I pulled from almost 2 months ago. The date was April 4th. And this was a clip from CNN where a reporter stopped a car, a woman pulling out of a church parking lot where she had just exited the church, and asked her what she was doing. And this was her brilliant response.
Can I ask you about your decision to go to church, to be inside that building?
I wouldn't be anywhere else.
Aren't you concerned you could infect other people if you get sick inside?
No.
People who don't go to this church.
No. I'm covered in Jesus' blood. I'm covered in Jesus'
blood.
But what
about other people who don't go to this church who you might encounter?
All of these people go to this church.
No, but you're going to be in places where other people
I go to the grocery store every day. I'm in Walmart, what? Home Depot, all of those
people. But
you
could get them sick from what happens.
They could get me sick, but they're not because I'm covered in his blood. Thank you very much.
I'm covered in Jesus' blood. Are you fucking kidding me? So then you're going to get AIDS too. Or HIV. Oh, my God. These people are sick. Did you see all the video out of the Ozarks in Missouri where people are in this pool? I don't get it. I'll tell you, I had to unfriend an old friend of mine on Facebook over the weekend because she lives either in Hawaii now or in Bali. But I've known her for years, since my days in Los Angeles. She was a record promotion person. And she tweeted, or she posted something about, you know, the freedom to not wear a mask, and we're losing our freedoms, and this is not what the founders... I mean, she was sounding like a Trumper, and I tried to engage with her, and I just don't understand the rudeness and the inconsiderate behavior of people who refuse to wear a mask. Because when you go out, when you wear a mask, it's not to protect yourself, it's to protect everyone else. And the people who won't do it are just plain selfish, and that's where we are. By the way, speaking of selfish, Donald Trump has now threatened to move the 2020 Republican National Convention from its planned location of Charlotte, North Carolina, if the Democratic governor of the state doesn't promise the venue will be at full capacity in August. Unbelievable. Trump called out Governor Roy Cooper, said he would be, quote, reluctantly forced to move the convention out of Charlotte if restrictions on large gatherings in the state are not eased by the week of August 24th, the date of the event. These people don't care. Donald Trump does not give a shit. What he cares about is that you, he cares more about money. He cares more about the economy than he does about your life. And that's saying a whole lot. So anyway, that's pretty much it for the news. There's other stuff going on, but frankly, I'd rather get to the music. I don't know about you. So I don't have a Music Monday theme or anything to make this segue into our next segment. So I will just, let's see, I need to unmute my friend Dan, because I've got him. How do I unmute you? Unmute. Ask to unmute. There we go. Oh. Okay, I'm going to let Dan unmute it. There we go. Okay.
We're doing the thing that Laurel and Hardy did. They both went through the same doorway and they kept bumping into each other.
All right. Well, let me bring Dan Navarro in. This is a very informal way of kicking off our Music Monday segment. So I'm thrilled to welcome my dear old friend Dan Navarro back to the show. We go back.
We go back
a long, long ways. I'm not sure where we first met. Was it when I was at KLOS before?
We didn't meet when you were KLOS, but I was a regular listener. I remember a Mark and Brian event.
Uh-oh.
Let's just say you went into a McDonald's with a wire on.
Okay.
And when you ordered French fries, you had to do something very specific.
Uh-oh. I don't remember what. You can feel free. I mean, I embarrass myself regularly in those days.
Well, will it embarrass you? Oh,
I don't
it
care.
Depends.
Yes. Oh, was that when we peed? We were wearing the adult diapers.
Basically, when you wore the adult diapers and you peed when you ordered the fries and you were connected the whole time. I remember vividly. We met in 1994 when KSCA started.
When we went on the air, yeah.
Lowen and I were 4 years into our recording and touring career. And we had only a tiny bit of traction in our own hometown until KSCA came on the scene. And then suddenly it got really, really fun.
Right.
And it was a wonderful 4 years. I still have the final day on 10 cassettes.
Do you?
I taped all day. Yep. And, you know, we were all voting for what's the last song going to be.
And you know what? And Mike Morrison screwed it up. So if you look at like Wikipedia or anything, any of the literature around the legendary KSCA FM 101.9 in Los Angeles, they say the last song was the Beatles, Her Majesty. Well, not really. I mean, we played the whole Abbey
right.
Road side two, and it ended with In the End. And then we were going to Michelle Schacht's Come a Long Way.
Correct.
And then they came back and played Her Majesty at the very end, which I don't think was supposed to happen.
Well, the thing is I remember at the time, as people are sort of, I don't know if we were texting in, I think we were calling in, because this was 1997, and I had internet then, but it was relatively new.
Right.
And, okay, so yeah, so the second side of Abbey Road, with Her Majesty or without, and I thought, what better thing
right.
when you're going off the air and you don't want to, than to go, bump, And that's it. But true. Yeah, I went to the Michelle Shaw.
Now,
tune
Come A Long Way, for those who don't know, is the quintessential Los Angeles song. And it's all about, right. I've gone 5,000 miles today and never even left L.A., which you know full well you can do. The sad thing is you look back 23 years now, it's been since we went off the air, and Michelle Schacht went off the rails. I don't know if you remember this, but it was a few years back when she went on some raving anti-homosexual rant at a club in San Francisco.
Of all places,
right? And it got and I knew Michelle, and we were friendly, and so I called her, and we emailed back and forth, and I said, come on my show, explain what happened, and she said she was going to, and it was live radio, and she wouldn't talk to me. She got all weird about, this is data, you're stealing the data, and you're on a delay, and you're going to edit what I'm saying. Before. It was just, she was insane, and it went for about an hour, us back and forth. She's texting me, and it was on live radio, and Howard Stern even got a hold of it and started talking about how insane it was, so I have not spoken to Michelle Schacht in many years, and I kind of hate that, you know, Come A Long Way was the last song of this amazing radio station that was such an important part of my life. But it is what
it is. I know Michelle, and I actually saw her shortly thereafter at a Creative Coalition meeting, you know, trying to protect artists' rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an unfortunate incident. She got canceled by McCabe's, but didn't really know it, and it got a little weird. And, I've done some strange stuff. So have we all.
But, you know, what she should have done is said, I was in a drunk-induced, you know, psychotic state or something. But apparently she lost, like, every relationship she had over this.
Well, there were religious overtones to it. And it was definitely that she was, let's just say, viewing a different map.
Yeah.
And as such, I think people just decided to pull back. I mean, it was a tough one. I have not traded notes with her in about 3 years. It's been a while. We weren't close friends, but we knew each other from these circumstances. But yeah, you know, but then I remember coming to KACD.
Yes, then the successor a few years later, Channel 103.1 in Los Angeles, which was, you know, Clear Channel's attempt at trying to, you know, recreate KSCA. And it never quite got there, but hey, it was a noble effort.
We want you to do exactly what you did before, but here are these handcuffs.
Exactly.
And, you know, but I've got pictures I should actually send you of Loewen and I playing on the air, but you're there with your dog.
Yes, Sandy. Sandy was our radio station dog. She was great.
Yep. Claudia was there, my ex-wife, and my son's mom. Joe, who's now 24, must have been 2.
Oh, wow. Was this around Christmas time? Because I think I have the audio of this session.
I'm not sure. I think it probably was close to it because I think we also did our Christmas song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that went down there. And then, of course, I remember when you went to Haverhill.
Yes, to the river. WXRV, the river.
WXRV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've been friends a long time.
I was at your wedding.
Honey, you caught the bouquet.
I caught the bouquet. Remember when Joe was born? So yeah, it's gone a long time. Now for those who are not familiar with Dan Navarro, Dan has mentioned Loewen a few times.
Yes.
So when we first met, Dan was half of Loewen and Navarro, Eric Loewen and Dan Navarro, who were this wonderful songwriting, singing duo. I always got a kick out of talking to you about this on the air. You guys met and started as singing waiters.
We did. We were singing waiters because it was a way to play a little music and have a regular job. If I look at it objectively, it was a dead-end job.
Mm.
But I met a lifelong music partner.
Yes, you did.
I met my counterpart, and we were together from meeting until he passed away in 2012. He got Lou Gehrig's disease in 2004. He stopped touring at the very tail end of 2008. We did a couple farewell shows in 2009, and he passed on in 2012. He's been gone 8 years now.
Wow.
I went solo in 2007. We had a two-year overlap. But all this is to say that, 34 years from start to finish. And, I've had to move on musically. I still play the old songs all the time. I don't have a problem with them. There's no Simon, repudiating Garfunkel here.
Mm-hmm.
He was my brother, and I miss my friend every day. But musically, I've moved on. And I'm having a good time. But, you know, he yeah, that's Loewen Navarro was well known in certain circles and completely unknown in others.
That's right.
And we didn't realize that that turned out to be a blessing because it was something we could sustain. And it really, I've been on the road for 30 straight years, except for the last
three months. Yeah. So, Dan Navarro, you're in Los Angeles where you've been all along, and you started doing on, what was the date? It was early on. It was like March 15th was my first webcast.
I had been doing live Facebook stuff for about 3 years, like one song every three shows, and from all over the country. And I decided, you know, we're just sitting here. I got home from the road March 9th. The lockdown didn't happen until the 19th, but it was obvious that something was coming.
Mm-hmm.
We had made, a friend and I had made dinner plans for her birthday on the 16th. The restaurant canceled on the 15th.
Oh, wow.
And said, we're not doing it. We can't have people. And I went, uh-oh, something's happening. So I went live on the 15th. It's been almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
Started out a half hour. It's turned into 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock California for 2 hours. Saturdays at noon. And on Saturdays, it's stories. I tell stories.
Ooh.
I answer questions. We just had episode number 63.
Wow.
Monday will be when I'm 64. And, we're going to turn, it's going to be 100 episodes over the July 4th weekend, at which point I'm not sure what I'm going to do. If I go back on the road, I'll have to change it up.
But yeah.
I'm not going away. I might go to weekly. I might go a couple of times a week. I like your schedule. Your political schedule is Tuesday through Friday.
Right. Yep.
And I might go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, spread it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is it's here to stay.
Awesome. Well, and
songs
everyone,
from the Corona Zone.
Songs from the Corona Zone with Dan Navarro on Facebook Live. You find just Dan Navarro on Facebook Live and definitely tune in. I've watched a number of them. I think I caught like your second or third one. And I'm so excited you're doing this. I think it's wonderful. You know what? I know you've got, I see the guitar sitting right to your right.
There's a couple of them.
There's a few of them. Oh, so you know what? Why don't we start with probably the song that most people know of yours that may not realize that it's your song. So you had a huge hit as a songwriter, Loewen and Navarro, before you had any hits as a singing, performing duo.
It's really true.
And so how did Pat Benatar get the song We Belong?
We were working day jobs. Eric was painting houses. He had closed down this. He was the manager of the restaurant we worked at, and he closed it down. I went to work in advertising as a copywriter and art director. Small agency owned by my uncle Mike, who's Dave Navarro's dad.
Wow.
And I'd given up music. I was over 30. We got together to write a song for no reason and hit the dinger. He starts taking it to publishers, and a record guy named Jamie Cohen gave it to a publisher guy named Tom Sturgis, who got it to the people at Chrysalis, who got it to Pat, and she pulled it out of the box like a lottery ticket.
Wow.
And went, this one. And our lives were permanently changed. It was a hit out of the box, and we were off. This was 1984, and it's been 36 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Now.
And now you said that you just had the best year ever for this song?
It's biggest year ever. It's racking up 300,000 BMI plays per year. It hit the 5 million mark a couple of months ago, and which is pretty amazing to think about. So, yeah, it's been on 7 television shows in the last year.
Wow.
A major commercial for Pepsi. There are a couple of new licenses. It was on Mixed Dish in February. It was on The Bachelor 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
It's turned into one of those, and we didn't do it on purpose.
It's an amazing song. It is a career song. And as I've always told you, I like your version so much better than
yours.
Cool.
I'm going to do it the way that I do
it,
and we do it, which is kind of throws a little surprise in there.
Yep. And all right, here we go.
The thing that's funny about it, it's not Love's a Battlefield, kids.
No, it is not.
It's not Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
No, it is not.
No. 20 times I tried to tell you, 20 times I cried alone. Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you really, just wanna break the ice. Do I look silly to you when I yield to your advice? When you say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words we've both fallen under. Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better,
We belong, we belong, we belong together. Si acaso no lo sabes, te aseguro que es verdad. El cariño que es sincero no se apaga con crueldad. Olvidas lo que fuimos y desprecias lo más fiel. Juntitos pretendimos que la luna era de miel. Junto a ti, solo es mi anhelo. Everybody at home, sing along. Junto a ti como el rayo de luz que ha brotado el cielo. No importa el porvenir, si sufrir es mi triste destino. Junto a ti hasta el fin del camino. The Spanish words mean that there is no love that is greater than that between a true-hearted gentleman and his chosen one in the back of an El Camino. What? Close your eyes and try to sleep now. Close your eyes and try to dream. Clear your mind and do your best to try and wash the palate clean. Cause we can't begin to know it, how much we really care. But I hear your voice inside me, and I see your face everywhere. Now I say, we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words we've both fallen under. Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better, we belong, we belong together. We belong, we belong together. We belong. We belong. We belong.
Beautiful. Dan Navarro, We Belong. That song, it still gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. And, you know, I was chatting with some of the people in the YouTube chat room, somebody saying, I never heard it done acoustically before. This is beautiful. And I said, it is beautiful. It's wonderful. I also said, go find the Loewen and Navarro version because of the beautiful harmonies. The harmonies are, I wouldn't dare to ruin it by opening my mic, but oh, in my head, I was singing along with you.
You know, it's Eric and I were all about the harmonies.
I know.
All about the heartfelt songs. And, you know, I miss that. And on purpose, I have not stressed harmonies in my music so as not to, like, I didn't get a new low. And it wasn't when you've had the best for 30 years, you move forward. But, yeah, it's we conceived of the song differently. Pat brought an awful lot to it. So did Neil Giraldo. And we're grateful as hell. But it definitely has been, it's been quite the ride.
I'll bet. And you said, again, this year it had its best year ever in terms of royalties and in terms of syncs on commercials and on TV shows.
Yeah.
And
Plus there's other stuff happening. A charity group that serves Broadway actors did a video about late March, early April, mid-March, with brand new lyrics for Earth Day. That's what it was for.
That's when I saw it, yeah.
And they wrote new lyrics to it. I wrote new lyrics with a woman named Rebecca Sanford, who is a healthcare worker at McLean Hospital in Massachusetts.
Virginia,
Bedford, Massachusetts.
Okay.
It might be, I'm not sure exactly which town in Massachusetts it's in. And we wrote a whole new lyric so they could put a video together honoring and celebrating healthcare workers.
Nice.
You know, and it's got a weird life, but we're, you know, nothing but grateful.
Now, Dan Navarro, you have a new album out. It's, well, relatively new. It came out, what, last summer? Was it August of 2019?
It came out to my fans at shows only in early 2018.
Oh.
And then I released it publicly in March of 2019 overseas, and then followed it up with a release here in the spring in 2019. So it's been out in this country on Spotify and iTunes and Amazon and all of the services for about a year.
And it's called Shed My Skin. And this is your first studio solo album. The first time you've done this without Eric, yeah?
Pretty bizarre.
Wow.
It's definitely bizarre.
Wow.
I worked with a guy named Steve Postel who produced and played guitar all over it. Steve is an amazing guy who's part of a band of what I call ne'er-do-wells. For the last couple of years, he's been in a band called The Immediate Family. That is Steve, Danny Korchmar, Leland Sklar, Russ Kunkel, and Roddy Wachtel.
Well, that's that. The Immediate Family, that somehow makes sense because they are the band.
Yeah. And actually, except for Waddy, I've played with all of them. Mm-hmm. Steve and I had a trio with Danny for a short time and did a show with, Leland's on my album, Danny's on my record. These are my friends, this is my family too. So Steve did an amazing job on this thing. And he's my brother, he lives a mile down the road.
Wow.
It's all pretty damn fun.
Yeah, Lee Sklar is one of those people who's been on every great album, it seems. And you can't miss him. He's got the long white beard. He's an amazing bass player. And he played in he plays bass, right?
Leland's one more time?
He's a bass player, yes?
He's a bass player, that's right. And he played with Carole King, James Taylor, Jackson Browne.
Yep.
Everybody.
And he used to play in at least when I was the producer in the Mark and Brian Christmas Show band for a few years, along with Steve Porcaro and So anyway, that whole group, they're all just amazing musicians. So you had a lot of help from them, and this record, I just got it. I just started listening to it, and I love it. I have two favorites on the album so far, and just from like the first listen. One is the title track, which just jumped out at me immediately. And the other is a cover that you wrap up the album with.
I wrap up the album with a cover because I always simply wanted to do it. And it's my own label, so I didn't have anybody telling me not to. And at this, there reaches a point in our lives, I'm not a spring chicken. You do what you want to do because you want to do it. And when someone says, well, you want to do this thing, but you shouldn't. Yeah, no, I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I've only had one person at a show goes, you really don't need to be doing that song. And everybody else is going, oh my God, I'd forgotten about it, because I consider it to be the best song ever written.
It is an amazing song, but you also put your own spin on it. David and I, my husband and I, have a long-running thing about cover songs. I love covers, but I think it's only good if the artist somehow makes it their own. If you're going to do a note-for-note cover of the original, don't bother, right?
It's karaoke in that
exactly.
point. What's the point?
So do something.
I'd rather listen to Glenn.
Right, exactly. So you did. You took Wichita Lineman, and you made it a Dan Navarro song. So would you do that one for us?
I would love to.
Awesome.
I would love to. I got to tell you, definitely, I didn't even do the ba-ba-bum-ba-dum, made it a little spookier. And I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the wine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. Do 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 do.
and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. Is still on the line.
Dan Navarro with a wonderful cover of Wichita Lineman. We lost Glenn Campbell this year. He's somebody that I got to meet. I don't know if you remember it, but he came on the Mark and Brian Christmas show one year and performed for us.
I didn't know that. Yeah, oh my God. That's a lifetime.
It was pretty. I've got a picture somewhere. The memories, lots of memories.
He was one of those. I've got Gentle on My Mind.
I see. I saw it.
Right,
I see
behind
it.
Me.
Yeah.
Glenn is right over my shoulders going, yeah, that's all right. I'll work with that.
Uh-huh. We've talked about, we've done a bunch of shows together over the years, but when I was out in L.A., and I was reading something just a week or two ago about the Troubadour and the danger that the Troubadour may not reopen, that all these live music venues, not only in L.A., but obviously those are the ones I spent so much time at and with you at so many at the Troubadour.
Yes.
I don't know how many shows we were at together at the Troubadour and seeing
the
how
KSCA
they're hurting.
The farewell show at the Troubadour is one of the watershed experiences.
Oh, absolutely. Mine too.
It's hard for venues out there. If you own your building, it's still hard. If you don't own your building, then you're paying rent and not able to bring bodies in.
Exorbitant rents, too, especially out in L.A.
In these days, especially in the parts of town that matter the most. I mean, it's really what it's turning into out there is, neighborhoods are switching all the time. I mean, Greenwich Village is super, super expensive. You've got John Varvatos in the Bowery. You've got Joe Malone in the West Village. So the Bottom Line finally went away
right.
and got purchased by NYU. Well, this is really, it's a come to Jesus moment for a lot of venues out there. I've started doing live streams for the venues under their moniker.
Oh, nice.
And the split is dramatically different than a normal show would be. And to try to help them, I've been going to the nonprofit venues, which a lot of the folky venues that I play, Cafe Lean in Saratoga Springs, Swallow Hill in Denver, Freight and Salvage in Berkeley, California. They're all, Club Basim in Boston, they're all nonprofits. And I'm joining, like I'm a local, just to throw them some money, because if they go away, we all hurt.
Right. I saw there was the piece in Rolling Stone about the Troubadour, and again, that was my home away from home. In the days, the early days of KSCA, you remember Zach Zallin? He worked in the back office. He was like the assistant booking person. But he was an early adopter of the internet. And he, with KSCA, we were on the air 94 to 97, and we had one of the first radio station websites Zach built. I mean, he knew HTML and it was showing me all the cool things about the internet. I have a New York Times article on one of the early radio station websites in KSCA. So, I mean, hours spent in the Troubadour. People, you mentioned our farewell show, but we had Elvis Costello and Steve Naive do a live broadcast from the Troubadour, and up in the dressing room area, I'm standing there next to Burt Bacharach, who had just recorded an album with Elvis, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Burt Bacharach. And I introduce myself to him, and he says, I know, I listen to you all the time. I love your station. Those are the memories that the thought of the Troubadour, which so predates me with you know, Joni Mitchell and Jackson Brown.
My first public show was in 1974 at a Troubadour Hoot Night.
Wow. Wow.
You know, the host was Joel Tepp, who played harmonica on two tracks on my album. Used to play with Bonnie Raitt, Danny O'Keefe, and Ian Matthews. He was the host. And I got up there, and I was terrified. Mm. This is the blinkin' Troubadour.
Yeah.
You know, the stories of Elton John
breaking
there. I was living in L.A. I just started UCLA when that happened. And, yeah, it happened. It was real. The Eagles getting together in the bar.
Yep.
You know, it was you went to the bar to hang out, to rub shoulders, be seen, maybe get asked, hey, you want to play on my demos or whatever, to just sort of be it. And I hung out there. I met Jack Temption there.
Who wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling, among other things. Yeah.
You know, Already Gone, among other things.
Yeah, Already Gone. Yeah.
Rosie Flores, I met there, because she had a band called Rosie and the Screamers.
Wow.
And, you know, it was truly the hub of a scene. It changed in the late 80s and into the 90s, into the 80s, into more of a hair band club, and then a more alternative club.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty eclectic by the time that we were playing together around the KSCA days.
Yeah.
I played there more times than I can count. And it's going to be sad if it goes.
Mm.
The Ash Grove went away, though, in the 70s.
And it came back, sort of.
You know, somebody suggested maybe Elton should buy it.
I suggested that, too. Or should save it for them.
I would if I were him. I mean, in terms of resources, it would be worth it. You know, I'm concerned about McCabe's Guitar Shop in Santa Monica.
I bet.
I haven't heard anything. I have a show scheduled there for June 6th that I'm almost positive is going to be canceled.
Mm.
They only just opened for curbside service on accessories 3 days ago. But if I could afford it, I'd buy it.
McCabe's is one of the most unique venues anywhere. McCabe's is a guitar shop, and they have a concert room, and the walls are lined with guitars, and it's a tiny little room where I've seen, you name
everybody.
It. I mean, everybody.
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 Jackson, Joni, Dylan, John Fogerty,
Peter
Case, Ry Cooder, Linda Ronstadt. One of my first shows there, I saw Linda Ronstadt playing with The Seldom Seen, not doing her hits, doing bluegrass songs.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And I just sat there in 1974 or five, just gobsmacked. And I said, I want to play there someday. And I've been playing there for 20 years. It's my steady annual play in L.A., because I don't play a lot in L.A. on purpose.
Uh-huh.
L.A.'s got a weird thing. If you play every month in L.A., people stop coming.
Sure.
Other cities, it's different. But so I play once a year or twice a year at most. I'll do a three-song sit-in. But it's been McCabe's. It's home. I sell it out consistently. It's a homecoming.
Well, it only holds like 50 people, right?
Well, it's literally 150.
Is it 150?
150, okay. 140 to 150.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's definitely a small place.
Yeah, it's awesome though. There's nothing like it.
My last show there was a group called Jack Shit.
Okay.
Jack Shit is a faux country band made up of Val McCallum from Jackson Brown's band on guitar,
right.
And Davey Farragher.
Oh, sure.
And Pete Thomas from Elvis Costello's band.
Nice.
They are the three guys. They are Bo Shit, Shorty Shit, and Pizza Shit. And they do this Christmas show every year. It's always sold out. Jackson came down and did four songs, including, Yabba Dabba Doo, the king is gone, and so are you, the George Jones song. I get up and I do, backing on a Chicago medley where Val says, this is Bobby Lamb. And I had somebody come, hey, man, I just want to let you know, I met you really briefly in, 1970, and I love your band. My daughter's really good. I go, dude, I'm not Bobby Lamb. I'm not Bobby Lamb, but thanks for saying that. And it's all, these places can't be allowed to go away.
No, now, they cannot.
Should the government step in? No.
No.
It's up to us, the public, to do whatever we can to frequent these events. The internet has has provided some of what we need, which is the engagement. It's not just about the music. It's the connection and the engagement. But when we can go back, I'm 100 shows a year. And it's not about my income. It's about if I don't get to see you. And to be honest, I hug people. I hug strangers for a living.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
So basically, it's going to be a while before we're back to a normal. And there will be a new normal. We just don't know what it is yet. We don't know what it is yet. I have ideas, but we don't know what it is. And the concert business has already on the record as being the last. Places that hold over 200 are last on the list.
Yeah.
Major tours.
Yeah.
They're rebooking for February, I say 2022. And I don't want it, but, you know, I'm going to plan, I'm going to adjust, and God dang it, I'm gonna survive this.
Without a doubt.
My house since April 6th.
I hear you. I'm there too. I'm here in Florida. You know, thankfully I worked from home before, so it's not that big a change for me. I have a home studio and this is what I do. But I haven't been out of the house except to walk my dog in over 2 months. So my husband and my kid don't let me out. So anyway.
I'm looking at the Facebook feed, by the way.
Yes.
I should just tell you.
Yes.
Berlin is in the house.
Cool.
D.C. is nice. In the house. Chicago. Oh my God.
Arizona. I see.
Yeah, Arizona. Uh-huh. I can see that for sure. Dennis Constantine.
Yes, that's who's in Arizona. That's who I saw.
I didn't know he's in Arizona.
So let's talk about Dennis Constantine for a moment, because Dennis is now living in Arizona, but Dennis was the reason I ever worked at KSCA. Dennis Constantine was a big consultant. He programmed a station in Boulder, Colorado called KBCO. And it was AAA was the format, Adult Album Alternative. And, you know, I was working at KLOS at the time, producing Mark and Brian and playing rock and roll. But AAA radio was, you know, played Lowen and Navarro, played Joe Jackson, played Joni Mitchell, played new music, new artists that nobody else played. I mean, I tell people back in the early 90s, late 90s, we broke Dave Matthews Band. We broke Sheryl Crow. We broke, you know, you name it. And they started with us. And then K-Rock would pick them up and take credit for them. But and so Dennis Constantine was the consultant I heard was putting together this new radio station in L.A. So I sent him I don't even think it was email at the time. It was, I sent him a letter. And he wrote back and he said, you know, yeah, we're doing this. If you're ever in Boulder, let me know. I'd love to talk to you. And I said, I wrote back, I said, I'll be there next week. When's a good time to get together? I had no plans to go. I flew out there to meet with him, convinced him, he hired me, and the rest is history. So I credit Dennis Constantine with my music radio career, because if not for him, I wouldn't have been there.
If it wasn't for Dennis Constantine, I wouldn't know you.
That's right.
Because he, you know, he programmed stations before AAA existed. Mm-hmm. AAA stations were a weird amalgam of AOR rock stations,
right.
Hot AC stations, NPR stations, non-commercial, and some of them even, you know, just straight pop stations that played a particular mix of music that would allow brand new people, the lesser known artists who got a big boost out of AAA
mm-hmm.
were people like Cliff Eberhardt, people like Patty Larkin,
Bodines, and
so
you,
KBCO
and
played us mm-hmm. starting in 1990, but there was no format. We could only break into the very bottom of the album rock charts because there were a lot of stations that weren't playing us. And then the format coalesces. Dennis starts consulting, and we ended up on his list. Eric and I played his 50th birthday party in Portland, Oregon. You know, and that was Dennis. I want to say pretty close to 20 years ago, maybe even slightly over.
We're all getting old.
We're all, you know, hey, but it beats the options.
Yes,
especially.
It does. Absolutely.
We lost Prine. We lost Hal Wilner. We lost Joe Diffie.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, bring on age. I love it.
Yep.
But if it wasn't for Dennis, I wouldn't know you.
No.
And it really did give us something that I'm still trading on the energy from AAA Radio 20, 25 years ago, because the audience, we went out and I'm continuing to go out and take a hold of the audience and say, I'm here. Let's do this. And they're still showing up. As I'm looking at the list, like I say, there are people I know from all over the country.
Uh-huh.
Dennis, I haven't seen you in a long time. And it is a joy to see you. My ex-wife,
yes,
Claudia Stewart Navarro, is
on.
She mentioned Sean Colvin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have known about Sean Colvin. She wouldn't have won that Grammy if it wasn't for AAA.
I agree. And we're the ones who played that record. Sonny Came Home. We're, you know, we that was us. So anyway, you've Dan Navarro, you've got a guitar. Let me let you choose one, since I've picked the last couple.
Ooh, it depends. Well, the thing about Shed My Skin.
Yes.
Shed My Skin is one of three songs that I have that were not overtly political, but they've got political overtones. Shed My Skin is sung from the perspective of someone in the barrio trying to figure out which way do I go.
Ooh.
I was raised on the Mexican border in Calexico, California. I'm Latino. All four of my grandparents were born in Mexico. The other song is Walking on a Wire, which was our first hit single in 1990, which
great
is
song.
About honesty in the bedroom, the boardroom, and in government. You take your pick. Unbelievably prescient. When the hook line is, you told the truth, but you're still a liar.
Yeah.
then there's All Is Quiet, which really just talks about trying to break down the walls that are between us. I mean, it's. I know you like Shed My Skin.
I like all of them, and I say, you know, we got nothing but time, Dan.
We have that, don't we?
We do.
I tune because I care.
You do, and I noticed at the beginning of Wichita Lineman, in fact, you hit a note, and I saw your face, and you went and quickly turned one of the tuning pegs.
You know what? I forgot to tune the string up from the first song, and it's like, I had practiced a different song. I had gotten ready for Shed My Skin, and then we went to Wichita, and I hit the note, and I'm like, it's down
wrong
the whole
tuning.
Step, and I managed to make it work
you
and
did.
Got it in.
I was impressed. Always am. Dan Navarro, by the way. You can find him at dannavarro.com, the website. Of course, on Twitter at Dan Navarro. Dan Navarro Music on Instagram.
The inspiration from this song came from my friend Enrique Castillo, who's an actor here in L.A., worked quite a bit. He was the gardener on the series Weeds. And we both grew up in Calexico. And he asked me to write a song for a film that he's been planning for years. And this came out. Come on and take a ride across the border to a place that once was mine. Out of focus, out of order, pictures from another time. On the outside, turning lighter, so much darker in my eyes. Gas or water on the fire makes no difference, something dies. So I take a piece of who I am, stretch it thin. Every time I start to feel the walls closing in, I shed my skin. Come on and take a ride on the dragon, hiding out behind the lines, piling bodies on the wagon. Everyone's a friend of mine, but when I feel that bitter chill in the I swear that I can feel the room start to spin. So I shed my skin. I shed my skin. Smoke through the rubble, through the crossfire, friends in need. On the inside of the bubble, we see what we choose to see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
heart of darkness, hope and anger. The road to freedom paved with fear lead me back to where I came from, somewhere far away from here. But the light to find my way back home is growing dim, and the sirens from behind the walls draw me in. So I shed my skin. I shed my skin. I shed my skin.
Shed My Skin, title track of the latest album from Dan Navarro, his first solo album, which I still find just amazing. Solo studio album. You've put out some live records, but and again, all the Lowen and Navarro albums are still available, as are now the Dan Navarro collection as well, through the usual channels, you know, Spotify, Amazon. If you have a local record store still standing, you can find them there as well. Dan, this is such a treat. And tonight you're going to do another Songs from the Corona Zone.
I'm doing another Songs from the Corona Zone at 5 p.m. California time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. It'll be 2 hours. What I started doing about 2.5 weeks ago, because I had to mix it up somehow. I mean, I did requests. I did covers. I did each of our albums in order, one per day for 10 straight days.
Wow.
I did, I've been doing all these different sorts of things. I did the next album. I did a tribute to Eric Lowen on March 23rd, which was the 8th anniversary of his death. And all I did were the songs that he sang lead on or wrote. Nothing that I sang lead on.
Oh, wow.
And that was actually the show that got the most traction. We had over 300 people on at one time. But for the last couple of weeks, I've been doing user sets. Select a set. You send in 15 songs, I'll do your songs you ask for. If they're covers and I don't know them, I'll learn them.
Wow.
I will not. And they go, well, you can change songs and change the order. No, I'm doing what you tell me to.
Wow.
And if it doesn't sound good, that's your problem. and it's a. I did 8 days of writing all the songs down on folded up pieces of paper, shoving them into an inverted Darth Vader helmet and drawing them out like raffle tickets.
Uh-huh.
I got that idea. I think Elvis Costello had done a Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, he did.
Songs.
I saw that show.
And but, you know, I have 130 songs to pick from. So it took 8 days. I didn't return songs to the head. So basically, as we start getting down to the bottom, it's like, okay, you know what you've heard. Here's what's left in here, and this is going to be just how it goes. So tonight is David Wright's set. He's asked for a, I shouldn't tip it off, but I'm going to. He requested Richard and Linda Thompson's Wall of Death.
Oh,
so
nice. Whoa.
And
okay.
I'm getting, I mean, I did Always the Last to Know by Delamitri 2 days ago. I'd never played it before.
Wow.
You know, it's cool songs, and some of them are interesting. Somebody, I won't say whom, and I won't say when, has requested one of my favorite songs of all time that's coming in about 2 weeks. And that's My Darling Be Home Soon by John Sebastian.
Okay.
I can't wait to do that. So, you know, there's a lot of surprises. It's not that here's another set, here's more songs. I jokingly say I will do one set of no heartbreak songs. That'll be 2 songs.
Right. And, I was going to say, which ones?
And on Saturdays, I tell stories. I do one song to open, and I do my closing. I'm going to give you my closing song real quick.
Okay.
So it's Facebook Live. And by the way, I'm going to be streaming in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to graduate and do the ones that'll multicast. So I'll go to YouTube, Twitter, you know, to Periscope, to LinkedIn. I found one service that'll do 30 networks at once.
Oh, wow.
20 of them are gamer networks. And I said, well, they're not going to be interested until somebody pointed out, I played the part of characters in three major video games, Fallout 4, Uncharted 4, and Red Dead Redemption
Because Dan
2.
Also does, you do voiceover work.
I do voiceovers, and yes. I've been doing that for years and years, about 20 years now, and it's just been an extra thing I do. So I played, I've got people, Nicole, who go, oh, wow, you wrote We Belong. That's pretty cool. You're Jacob Orton in Fallout 4. No shit, dude, this guy, oh my God. Or that I'm Cilantro in... el perro, es mi corazón. El gato, no es bueno. Cilantro es cantante, cilantro es muy famoso. Cilantro es el hombre con el queso del diablo. From American Dad. And they go, oh my God, you're that.
Oh my God, tell my daughter. She'll like that.
From the Roy Rogers McFreely, I'm Cilantro, who sang the rude mariachi song. He says, Cilantro can kiss you better than your husband. Cilantro is famous. Cilantro is a singer. Cilantro is the man with the devil's cheese. That's what it says. But so as I'm finishing up Facebook and I'm turning the camera off because I'm alone here and I'm doing that, the little like hearts are flying.
Yeah,
by.
Right.
And it's really
those
cool.
Are really
if you hold
cool.
Your finger
yes.
down, they go like
wow.
Right. Uh-huh. So I look at it and I just make up. Watching as the hearts go by, watching them as they fly, way up into the sky, a bunch of hearts between you and I, we're all together now, watching as the hearts go by, ladies,
watching as the hearts go by,
gentlemen, watching as the hearts go by. It's all meant to be silly
yes.
and fun,
yep.
Keep you interested, keep you engaged, keep it moving. I love every minute of it.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, look.
I know.
Okay. You did music.
Yes.
You did music. And then all of a sudden, you're a political spokesperson, icon. I mean, that's, you know, you're a commentator saying important things, and because it's all about the engagement.
Yep.
And it's really wonderful.
But the music is still so important, and you know, my listeners know this. I went through a really bad period after Trump got elected. I managed to knock out a show every day. And the people who stuck with me, I thank them profusely because I was in a bad, bad way. I went down deep into a bad depression. Couldn't get through the news because it was so horrific, everything that's going on in the world. And, you know, I finally got an iPod and I put my whole, you know, I had an old iPod that was small that didn't hold much music, but I put everything on there and I started listening to music again. And I think that's one of the things that helped get me out of that place. And a lot of the music in my collection is from, you know, the 90s, from those days, and it brought back a flood of memories. And I realized, you know, I've always known how important music is to me, but we really, really need it. And that's one of the reasons why I find these fun parody songs and why I right. want to start right. doing this Music Monday thing again, because it is so important. If all you think about is what Trump is doing and what's happening in this country and the world, it's a very depressing place. So we need something to remove from it.
I've always been pretty liberal. I grew up in an era where that was a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bad word to some people right now. And what certainly, the thing that I decry the most, if you will, is not necessarily the most important, but it's the elimination of respectful discourse.
Mm-hmm.
That it's turned mm-hmm. into labels and name calling and, you know, snowflake libtards, whatever
yeah.
they want to call
yeah.
us. And all I'm trying to do is, like most of us, get from here to there with a global perspective. And maybe the global perspective is a bad word to some, but it's not to me. There's a big world out there. And as far as I'm concerned, the better that we can interface with each other, the better everything is. A rising tide lifts all boats. So I'm not anything first. I'm everybody first. And that's the way that goes. But it's Joe and I were in New York election night. We were flabbergasted. We wound up following a march from Union Square up to Midtown, got out of the subway right into the middle of the protest uh-huh. outside Trump Tower. I have video of it. Like
oh,
crazy.
Wow.
And it was we communicate. My son feels the burn.
Yes, me too. I'm there with him.
What's interesting, well, he talked me into it.
Good.
Because
awesome.
You know, we had good, healthy discourse. I was going a different direction. And I'm convinced on where I think we need to be. And, you know, people are free to have different opinions, but, whatever Biden's issues might be, he knows how to assemble the government. He knows how to do the process.
Yep.
And I would rather have a guy who might stumble over his words once in a while than a guy who intentionally says bad stuff.
Horrible things. Just a horrible excuse for a human being. I mean, there's no comparison between the two. And I criticize Biden all the time. People know that. Certainly not my first choice. I still think it's not too late. But anyway, there's no comparison, though. As I've said a million times, I'd vote for my dog Jackson before Donald Trump. Joe Biden will be able to pull together a government and people who know what the hell they're doing and not put, you know, cronies and flunkies and minions in place.
Believe me. Believe me. And we're going to see what's going to happen. It's pretty unpredictable. T-Bone Burnett at a political event I was at around some songwriter legislation in 2016 said it in front of an assembled press conference that I was, you know, part of the behind the scenes, you know, that was on the dais.
Mm-hmm.
He says it was then called a psychedelic election cycle, and this was before he was elected. It's gotten more psychedelic and more psychedelic as each day goes on. It really is every day. It's he did what?
Yeah.
And it's not just about that, but the destruction of every known structure that we have. Is government bloated? Yeah. And if you unplug it, a lot of air goes out of a lot of tires. So, you know, doing some of the things that the conservatives want to do, if they're admirable on their face, still requires some planning and some forethought, not just simply, that's it, we're done, we're out.
Right.
And so the chaos is enormous, and I do think that you can tell that he thrives on chaos.
Oh, that's his whole thing, and to get things as crazy as possible, so we can't focus on one horrific thing he's doing. So he'll do 10 of them, so they all get watered down, and we don't concentrate on any of them. Yeah, right. That's the problem.
Well, the way that I'm trying to operate for the most part is you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, and so I don't need Fauci, who I respect, and other people who I think are misguided, you know, whether, and I understand the notion. I mean, it's a bad thing to say I understand it because I don't agree with it, but I understand the notion that if 1 million people die, 349 million people survive. And that's easy to say when in that million is not you or your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not playing Russian roulette, and I'm not playing Russian roulette with other people's lives. As far as I'm concerned, I get that what's going on economically is really, 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 really hard.
Yep.
You know, and I'm going to do my best to survive it, to get through it and come out the other side. But at the end of the day, personally, I'm going to remain healthy.
Yep. Well, that's how we feel, too. And if I go out of the house, I will put on a mask because I believe that, it's my responsibility to help keep other people safe. So, Dan, how about doing Walking on a Wire for us?
You got it. This one's going to crack you up. For those of you who don't know the song, it is what I got people saying, oh, wow, you wrote that in 2016? Uh-uh. This was written in 1986.
Wow.
Don't waste your breath. Don't waste my time. If I hear one more excuse, I'll lose my mind. It's been a quiet war behind closed doors. Ain't it getting hard to keep your balance anymore? Walking on a wire, higher and higher. You told the truth, but you're still a liar. Walking on a wire. You deal in black and white, and everything in between. You were blessed with such finesse, I almost know what you mean. Now I could close my eyes, pretend to let it pass, but you live on borrowed time and it would never last. Walking on a wire, higher and higher.
You told the truth, but you're still a liar. Walking on a wire. Walking on a wire. Higher and higher. You told the truth, but you're still a liar. Walking on a wire. And how does it feel with the whole world watching? Do you feel like you're gonna fall? Was it safer with your back up against the wall? And why did you try when you knew you were losing? Just one mistake and you'll lose it all. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste my time. If I hear one more excuse, I'm gonna lose my mind. Walking on a wire, higher and higher. You told the truth, but you're still a liar. Walking on a wire, walking on a wire, higher and higher. You told the truth, but you're still a liar. Walking on a wire. Told the truth, but you're still a liar, walking on a wire.
Wow. And I don't know what you were thinking of, Dan Navarro, when you wrote Walking on a Wire, but it certainly fits.
Well, I can tell you the very quick story about
yeah,
it.
Please.
Our co-writer, Rick Boston, saw a squirrel on a telephone wire.
I remember
wire.
Rick Boston.
He goes, I don't know. Yeah, Rick Boston from Hand of Fate.
Yeah, Hand of
Pop
Fate.
Suicide.
Terry Gladstone signed Hand of Fate.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. She did. And yep. He was our writing partner. He wrote 7 songs on the first album.
Oh, I didn't
we
know that.
We were writing
that.
Partners for a
wow.
long time. He saw a squirrel on a wire and says, I don't know, how about Walking on a Wire as a title? And Eric goes, yeah, higher and higher. And I went, you told the truth, but you're still a liar. We start laughing. We go into separate corners. Eric starts writing about the Iran-Contra scandal.
Wow.
I start writing about a bad romance. And we looked at it and went, wait a minute, they fit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's where that came from. I was, you know, I could see the political overtones and I was thinking of the politics of romance. And Eric was very specifically, what he was referring to was when it was either Reagan or Oliver North or somebody said, okay, I'll tell you the truth. I lied.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay.
Tell
Here
the
we
truth,
go.
But you're still a liar.
And, you know, and I will say the issues of finesse and you told the truth speaks to a different generation than the current one we're in. As far as I'm concerned, this gentleman doesn't tell the truth.
Oh, he's not a gentleman.
So it's not really, you know, and, but by the, you know, I think my version of it though is okay. Now
mm-hmm.
what?
Yeah.
And that's where
yep.
I'm going to do my part. And we'll see what we got.
I have a request for you. And
yes,
I don't know if you know the song. And you may have to, you know, put it off and do it on one of your songs from the Corona Zone coming up. But it's the song. And I can't play music on my show because I simulcast on YouTube.
Right, right.
And YouTube copyright violates me. They violate me every fucking day. I have a thing with you. I don't know if you heard the intro to the show. It's a
I
thing
did,
about
I
YouTube.
Did.
Fuck you, YouTube. I own the rights to this production music. Because they cut off. I couldn't make money off of you for everything. So I just can't play a song. But the perfect song for the times we're living in now, and if there's a message I want to put out there, it's truly one of my favorite songs, and I was late to the party on this one. It's a Kinks song. Do you know which one I'm thinking of?
I don't.
Better Things.
I'm going to learn it. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, you must. You know, Dar Williams did a great version of it. I'm trying to think. So many, a few people have covered it, and it's just, I hope tomorrow you find better things. It's about things getting better. And I'd love to hear your take on that.
I will definitely learn that. I mean, I don't know it well enough. Even if I pulled the lyrics up
right
here, I couldn't do it well enough.
Gotcha. No, that, and
yeah,
that song,
I mean,
deserves.
There's a ton of them, man. Let me tell you, It's All Right, Ma. I mean, it's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding.
Yeah.
I mean, all Dylan just comes flooding back to me in,
oh,
most,
yeah,
in the most amazing of ways. And Phil Oakes. and that whole generation of what we called protest singers, there are people asking, where are the protest songs now? And they're coming out. I confess I haven't done it yet, and I'm still going to.
You know, Michael McDermott, who was on with me last week, has a great protest song. What is the name of the album? Hold on. What in the world? It comes out and grabs you. Michael McDermott, What in the World? Listen to it. I'm talking to the listener.
I will say, my friend Shelley Howard and I rewrote lyrics to We Didn't Start the Fire.
Really?
We've got a dumpster fire, and it's on and burning. Now my stomach's turning. I'm gonna actually send you the lyrics. It's a crack, but I've never recorded it. But we did a whole parody of We Didn't Start the Fire, with, you know, COVID's here, coughing into my mask.
Oh, there are a few to that song, a couple that I've actually played on the show. I told you I do a parody song pretty much each day at the beginning of the show. So they are out there. There's We Didn't Start the Fire is a big one. My Sharona is a big one. My Corona.
Oh, yeah.
There are a few that have made the rounds.
I've enjoyed the Adele.
Hello.
One is cool. Hello. Yeah. That one actually made me laugh out loud. The Bonnie Tyler one, I need a haircut.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Because Lord knows, this is the longest my hair has been in 20 years. It's like
mine's
really getting kind
too.
Of ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them, and it's cool that it's being done. I know that the other one that I think I'm going to take a go at, it's the end of the world as we know.
Oh, God. It's just waiting. It's like there already. When I heard it, there was an earthquake in LA not too long ago. I thought, okay, here we go. All right. So, let's do one more song. How about that? You want to do All's Quiet?
Yes, indeed. Cause it really is for now. And my friend, Michael Tierson, who I think you probably know, the Philadelphia DJ.
I don't know.
My friend Gene Shea passed away from COVID. He was the godfather of folk DJs, and a wonderful, wonderful man. And I've been communicating a lot with Michael. And since talking to him, I actually end every broadcast before I do watching as the hearts go by with just the chorus of this. I'm going to...
tune because you care.
I always say you'll thank me later.
I do thank you.
You'll thank me now. All is quiet tonight. The stars are in their places. The moon will give us light to see into each other's faces. And I know the road is hard, but if we carry on together, we will get by. We live our lives in the eye of a hurricane. We cast our fates on seas of indifference, but all along the shoreline, we look for a chance to believe the darkness will fade and the promise will survive until I hear you say, all is quiet tonight. The stars are in their places. The moon will give us light to see into each other's faces. And I know the road is hard, but if we carry on together, we will get by. We make our way through streets full of danger. We build up the walls to keep us inside, but oh, they keep us apart till we become the worst kind of stranger who stands with open arms and barricades the heart. And still I hear you say, All is quiet tonight. The stars are in their places. The moon will give us light to see into each other's faces. And I know the road is hard, but if we carry on together, we will get by. All is quiet tonight. We will get by. All is quiet tonight. We will get by.
Dan Navarro, All is Quiet Tonight. What a great way to end this. This has been so special. This has been really, really wonderful, Dan.
So great.
I miss you.
Well, when I can travel again, I'm coming to Florida more than I used to.
Good.
And that part is good. There was a long period, about a 15, almost 20-year period when I didn't go there at all. I've been developing the Panhandle and across the other side on the Western Gulf Coast in Fort Myers and Sarasota. And actually, my digital aggregator is this most amazing creature named Stacy Taylor, who lives in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, really? Okay.
You two should get to know each other. You would love each other.
Okay.
If she's not on, I'm going to get her to. Stacy, got a new friend for you, like you've had for me. She's a wonderful human being, and she cleaned up my whole Spotify, Deezer, iTunes, everything. She cleaned it up.
Nice.
By the way, I'm getting not takedown notices, just copyright infringement notices on
for your
songs,
own songs.
On my own,
yeah,
on my own songs.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I got a thing from when Michael McDermott was on last week for playing his song, and I said he was on my show. I fought it. I usually just whatever. I'm not going to make $3.50 from the ads they show. Big deal.
I own the copyrights to every song I played, including "We Belong." I am Eric's estate, and I recaptured the copyright on that in November.
Yay.
Which is very good.
Good. Oh, that's awesome. But YouTube still has you up on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. All right, Dan Navarro, again, the new album, the newest album, Shed My Skin, is available wherever you get your albums. And Dan Navarro, again, will be sitting there in front of that piano or behind in front of the piano.
I'll be sitting right in this very spot in about 3 hours, three and a half hours.
Okay.
And, playing David's set, playing Wall of Death for the first time in my life, and talking utter nonsense.
Awesome. And you're gonna work up a version of the Kinks' Better Things for me. Because
without question.
I can't wait
without
to hear
question.
You do it. Awesome. Dan Navarro.
I'll make sure to send you a clip of it.
Please. Oh, it's so good to see you, even though we're 3,000 miles away. Look, one of the silver linings on this insanity we're living through is that everyone's getting on Zoom, and now I can see you and talk to you, and this is wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this today.
It's a joy to see you. And like Clyde and I were talking about you only a few days ago before this all started.
Well,
she's been on the broadcast.
Yes, I see.
I love you. It's great to see you. Congratulations on all you've been doing, because you're really making a difference.
Thank you. I'm trying. And thank you for all the great music and the friendship over the years. Stay well, my friend, Dan Navarro. DanNavarro.com. Find him on social media at Dan Navarro Twitter, at Dan Navarro Music on Instagram, and of course, Dan Navarro on Facebook Live. See him tonight, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Thank you, Dan. Love you. Bye.
Love you right back.
All right. Bye. And with that, we're done. It's been a long show, but I love not having the constraints, and we can do whatever we want, right? Tomorrow is Tuesday. We get back into the regular swing of things. Every Tuesday, we get together with my friend Gotta Laugh. We shoot the shit about the news. I think Amy Simon will join us for the Glibberal Goddesses. And, we'll see what the day brings us. And I've got really nothing set for the rest of the week. So we'll figure it out as we go along. Thank you for listening, everyone. And until next time, you guys rock. Bye.